If you come to somebody to say, I'm sorry, you did something wrong, you understand that you did something wrong, and you come to apologize, do you need to specify what is it that you're apologizing for? Or coming and saying, just, I'm sorry, good enough? And this is a question which is discussed in Talmud with regards to Jews coming ask forgiveness from God on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Day of Atonement. And Yom Kippur is a day when God is willing to forgive us for everything we do wrong. We just need to come to Him and say, I'm sorry. So how do we come to Him and we say, I'm sorry? Do we just come and say, God, I'm sorry? Or do I need to specifically say, God, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, I'm sorry for that? By the way, just as a side point, I've seen people before Yom Kippur get up in front of other people, maybe in front of like a whole group, a whole community of people, say, if I said something wrong, if I did something wrong, please forgive me. That's nothing. We don't even talk about that, because if I said something wrong means nothing. If I said something wrong means I don't even mean anything specific. I'm just saying, just in case. So just in case forgiveness is not even what we're talking about here. This is like a joke. But we are talking about a situation where I know I did something wrong and I have something specific in my mind. And that's why I come to this person asking, please forgive me. Or when I come to God, I know specifically what I did wrong. I have a list. And I say, I'm sorry. The question is, do I need to come and say, God, I did this and this and this and this wrong? Or can I just come and say, God, I'm sorry, and not enumerate the sins? This is the debate, and like you probably already imagined, there are different opinions. Rabbi Akiva says no. You just come and say, I'm sorry, and everything is good. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you got to present the entire list. You got to tell God, God, I know I did this wrong. God, I did that wrong. Please forgive me. Now, why is it that they are having these differences of opinion? It's whenever rabbis have differences of opinions, not just because one scratched his head and decided, oh, that's how we're going to do it. There are reasons for each one of the opinions. And Rabbi Akiva says that he does not believe that people should be enumerating their sins, because if I get up and I say, I stole something from my neighbor Moshe, and I already returned what I stole, because that's what you're supposed to, even before asking for forgiveness. And now I'm just asking, Moshe, please forgive me. People who hear it, what are they going to think? Right away, 1 second, you were at my house the day before. Let me check if you didn't take anything from me. Once we are at it. If I get up and I say, I insulted Yankel yesterday, and I'm asking Yankel for forgiveness, what are people going to say? 1 second, let me see. Maybe he insulted also my neighbor. Whenever you hear of people doing something wrong, you automatically think, what else did they do wrong? Whenever cops stop people who are speeding, or there's a cop who's pulling over this old lady who forgot to turn on her blinker, do you really, cops are interested in making sure that old ladies turn their blinkers? No. Cops, whenever they stop a car, they always run a report and see if everything is okay with this car in the first place, and if the driver has anything else that he could be possibly suspected in. Cops operate on an assumption that sinners sin. If this person is now speeding, chances are he's running away from something which is even bigger than just speeding. So this cop is running a full report to see what else is wrong. That's how human nature is, and that's how the track record is, that if you hear of somebody doing something wrong, right away you're thinking, okay, let me check, you know, what else did he do wrong? So Rabbi Akiva says, if we will force a person to get up and enumerate all of his sins, then it'll automatically lead to him being suspected in a million other things, and we don't want to put a person through it. That's why Rabbi Akiva says we should not have person enumerate his sins. He doesn't have to. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that whenever a person gets up and enumerates his sins, that makes him more embarrassed what he did. In this situation, it's a good thing because it makes his remorse stronger. It makes sure that he really means when he says, I'm sorry for whatever he said, I'm sorry for. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. But still, something doesn't make sense here. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva's position would make sense only if he is making these declarations in public. What if I'm praying in a corner of a shul myself, quietly, nobody hears what I'm saying? Then Rabbi Akiva's position would seem to be agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Akiva does not say so. Rabbi Akiva does not say, if you pray in public, then you should not be enumerating your sins. But if you are doing it in private, then it's okay. Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that. It seems like it's a blank statement of Rabbi. So here we need to look at a deeper root of each one of this rabbi's positions. It's known that sometimes people, when they are in business, let's say, they only take into account what's needed today. I'm taking care of my business today. In the future, we're going to worry about the future. There's a guy who I was speaking with. He had his business mentor. It was an older guy who owned one of the small banks here. It was a K bank here on Reston Road. He was already older. He wanted to sell this bank. He was looking for a buyer, hopefully like a larger bank that would buy him out. He was already tired. He wanted to retire and move to Florida. And suddenly, he starts a whole campaign of rebranding his bank, pivoting to a new clientele. He changed his name even, I think. He changes a lot of things around the bank. And this younger guy asks him, aren't you looking to sell it? Why are you doing this now? Why bother? He says, one second. Today, I'm still owning my bank. So today, I need to do everything what it takes to run it properly as if I will own it for the next 100 years. Tomorrow, I might end up selling it. If I own it today, I own it today as if I'm going to own it for the next 100 years. And it could very well be that tomorrow, I will end up finding out that this whole campaign that I started is worth nothing and it's all going to garbage because there's a new owner and he doesn't like what I have started. That's a separate story, but that's going to be his problem. Right now, if I own the business now, I own it as if I will own it for the rest of my life. So this is one approach. You look only at what's now. You are not worried about what turns could be in the future. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you look in the future. You today take an account what's in the future. So there are different business approaches, there are different life approaches, there are different approaches to repentance. What is the difference? Rabbi Yehuda says you need to enumerate your sins now. Why? Because your repentance now will be stronger if you enumerate them. You're concerned about now. Rabbi Akiva says you need to worry about what people will say about you in the future. That's what he's worrying about, what's going to be next. So this is a different approach, and whenever we look at rulings of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda, this is the difference between them all the time. That Rabbi Akiva is concerned about what's going to be in the future as well, not only right now. Rabbi Yehuda lives in here and now. But then we also have a deeper understanding of what is going on. Whenever people say, I'm sorry to someone else, there are two reasons why they can do it. There are two different driving forces that could be behind it. Number one, embarrassment for what I did wrong. I have this coworker who actually was getting on my nerves for a long time already. And finally, I just snapped. I told him off. And I know it's bad. It's a big embarrassment for me. I shouldn't have done it. So I need to just go make amends and say I'm sorry. A regular apology after you did something wrong. And then there's another apology. Apology to my wife, apology to my parents. It's a different sort. Why? Because, okay, yes, when I do something wrong, I'm embarrassed. And by the way, our embarrassment in front of strangers is greater than our embarrassment in front of our relatives. So with our relatives, usually our embarrassment is less. But what is stronger? Our attachment to them, our love towards them. If I hurt my relationship with my spouse, with somebody I love, with my children, with my parents, with my siblings. This is like a stumbling block on our relationship. And I want to remove this stumbling block. I want to remove this separation that now appears. Now, my wife, my mother, my father, my husband, now they don't talk to me as warmly anymore. I know there's something blocking our relationship now. I want to remove this block. That's why I'm saying I'm sorry. So it is repentance, not because of embarrassment, but because of love. Because I'm drawn towards them. I want to mend this relationship, and I want to be closer to them. I'm not driven by my embarrassment. I'm driven by my love towards them. These are very different relationships. So now we understand the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda. If my apology is driven by embarrassment, then I need to enumerate everything what I did wrong because I need to say exactly what am I embarrassed for. If my apology is driven by love, then details what I did already irrelevant. I come to you, I'm sorry, I really love you. I know I should not be doing what I've done before. I really love you. The message is I love you. The message is I want to be close to you. And now we understand that when Rabbi Akiva says that you don't need to list all of your sins, it is because he speaks about repentance which is driven by love. Just like we could be driven by our love to another person, we could be driven by love to God. We love God. The purpose of Judaism is to have a real relationship with God. And my real relationship with God, my love for God, could be pushing me to repent. And if I'm trying to get closer to God, there's no real reason to specifically enumerate every little thing. I just want to be closer to you. I want to remove all of the separations, all of the stumbling blocks. I want to be there for you. I want to be there with you. Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about the repentance which is done out of embarrassment. And embarrassment, yes, then you need to enumerate everything. But one second. Now we're going to go one step further. If that's the case, why doesn't Talmud tell us very specifically? They're not arguing. They're talking about different types of repentance. Talmud is always trying to settle differences between rabbis by first and foremost trying to figure out maybe they're not really arguing. In other words, if one rabbi says that the house which is on the corner of Reisterstown Road and Patterson is yellow, and the other rabbi says that the house which is in the corner of Reisterstown Road and Patterson is white, Talmud will say, well, let's take a look. There are actually probably four houses on the corner because there are four corners, and maybe one of them is yellow, one of them is white, so they're not arguing. So in other words, Talmud is, first of all, trying to see maybe an argument is not really an argument. So here, an argument seems to be not an argument. They're just talking about different types of repentance. Talmud should have said that. Rabbi Akiva is talking about repentance out of love. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about repentance out of embarrassment. That's it. They're not arguing. Talmud doesn't say that. And it's the answer. Because really, they are talking about the same type of repentance. The initial, first, bottom, basic level of repentance will be always repentance out of embarrassment. Repentance out of love is something you need to grow to. When your relationship with the person is deep enough, then it's going to be repentance out of love. In other words, I love my wife, and if I do something wrong, chances are I will want to make amends because of my love to her. But we needed to get to this point. When I first met my wife, she was this cute girl standing there. If I would then say something stupid and have to say I'm sorry, probably would be embarrassed in front of this girl. So in other words, the bottom basic level of apologies is because of embarrassment, not because of love. Love is the next level. So both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda are talking about repentance that comes out of embarrassment. But if we remember what we said about differences between the approaches, Rabbi Yehuda speaks only about here and now. He says the repentance that he is going through right now, his repentance of right now is repentance out of embarrassment, and that's what counts, and that's why he needs to act as if it's repentance out of embarrassment. He needs to enumerate all of the sins. Rabbi Akiva, as we said, looks into the future. And Rabbi Akiva knows that even though the initial step of every repentance, the initial level of every relationship is repentance out of embarrassment, deep inside, every one of us has this hidden love. Deep inside, every person loves God. deep inside every person has a soul that is going to push him to love God. Maybe this love is not revealed yet, but it's there. So if it's there, then eventually it will come out. So Rabbi Akiva says, even though right now he's repenting out of embarrassment, in the future he's going to come to repentance out of love, and that's why now he doesn't have to enumerate all the sins as well. Because Rabbi Akiva is looking into the future. There are two opinions, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda, so who do we consider to be the law? Interestingly enough, Babylonian Talmud writes that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who the law is according to. Jerusalem Talmud writes that Rabbi Akiva is. Why is that? And why do we even have two different opinions of between two different Talmuds? Jerusalem Talmud was written in Israel. And as the spiritual darkness of exile was not fully there, even though Jerusalem Talmud was written during already the times of exile when Jews have already experienced the destruction of the temple. But because it was written still in Israel, the spiritual darkness of exile was not so prevalent. And that's why in Jerusalem Talmud, they say that the law is according to Rabbi Akiva because it's a higher level. It's a level of repentance from love. In Babylonian Talmud, they write that the law is according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why Babylonian Talmud is written in exile, in Babylonia? And over there, the spiritual downfall of generations after destruction of the temple was felt much more. And that's why Rambam, who obviously also lived in exile, he lived already many centuries later, in exile, he writes that the law is according to Rabbi Yehuda, so he sides with Babylonian Talmud. So we are now on a lower level, where unfortunately we do have to enumerate our sins, and that's why in our prayers on Yom Kippur, we do enumerate our sins. And this is also the reason why this, if a conjectural repentance, if I did something wrong, is not really working, because are you repenting or you are not? If you are repenting, you have to know what you're repenting for. The question may be whether I have to enumerate or not, but I, in my mind, for sure have to know what am I saying I'm sorry for. So sometimes when your love for someone is so powerful that it could override the things that were done wrong in the past. That's true. That's because repentance is simply not needed then anymore. It's not repentance anymore. There's a famous saying in Talmud, a person always loves himself. And it says, therefore, kol psha'ei ichase ahava, all my shortcomings will be overridden by my self-love. I don't need to apologize to myself. When I did something wrong, I hurt myself. I wasted my money. I wasted my time. I wasted my efforts. I did something wrong. I did something stupid that actually hurt me physically. After I hurt myself because of not being careful enough when I was carrying something, do I get up and say, I'm very sorry? I don't. Why don't I say I'm sorry to myself? After I lose money on something stupid when I should have thought better before investing or before spending my money on something, do I say, I'm very sorry? I stand in front of a mirror and say, I'm terribly sorry. I don't. Why? Because I have self-love. My love to myself is so strong that I don't even need to apologize. So sometimes your love to another person is so strong that you don't even need to apologize. The other person accepts you after you do something wrong, even without your apology. It happens with your kids. Sometimes your kids do things which you are really upset at them for. Sometimes afterwards they have enough brains and maturity to come and apologize. But what if they don't? You're not going to talk to them for the rest of their lives? What if they don't? The kid is not apologizing. You obviously going to be upset for a while or whatever it is, but you will be loving them and continuing your relationship with them as before. Why? Because your love towards them has overridden this place of apology. So not always you need apology. Sometimes things could be repaired without an apology. But here we were specifically talking about two types of apology.